You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to another Daily Nationalist. This is Matthew Raphael Johnson. Today's date is very early, March 26, 2025. And we're going to return to a topic that needs to be returned to, the situation in Romania. Now, I've covered this before late last year, I think it was November, but I wasn't too happy with it because I brought in Moldova and Georgia. So in a 40-minute segment, I was kind of all over the place. I want to focus this far better now and remind you of what happened. And this is still going on. The situation is still going on, especially with the election of Donald Trump, which is a nightmare for so many of people in the regime. I want to give a thorough analysis of what's happening. This essentially is story of Calin Georgescu and elite projection. This is the neurotic hysteria and delusion over Romania's 2024 election. Now, before I get into this, it's very important to note, and I make reference to this, although I never really summarized it before, the people who are ruling the regime, bankers, academics, high-level politicians, military men, big tech guys, people who show up at Bilderberg and Davos, they have a few things as individuals. By and large, they have a few things in common. And the first, and I think the most important, is that the world they live in is sanitized and censored. They've come to believe that their ideology, in fact, their self-interest, is the same as fact. They read journalists that they themselves hire, and they get their ideology read back to them as new. The second thing is that their world is created by this combination of media and their own personal interests. And in fact, they don't know how to tell the difference. They don't know how the real world works at all. They have very little connection to it. The third thing is that no alternative information really gets through to them. You know, nationalism, traditionalism, they don't hear any of this stuff. They have no access to it. So they come to assume, and this is a case in academia and journalism, they assume that their views aren't really ideological, it's just how things are. Therefore, if you're in opposition, you must either be a criminal or insane. And of course, that implies, fourth thing, that they are surrounded by yes-men and lackeys all over the place. Number five, I still insist that at some level they are aware of their lack of legitimacy. They know that they're unpopular. And like Machiavelli taught, you know you're illegitimate, therefore you have no choice but to manipulate everyone around you. The sixth thing is that power for these people is a good. It's the only good worth pursuing because truth, in their mind, is unattainable or at least irrelevant. That certainly distorts the world that they perceive, which is already constructed for them. Truth is whatever serves their interest. And they don't know the difference. I mean, over the years, they can't tell the difference. Seven, when the real world actually does crash in on them, and it does from time to time, Afghanistan, Ukraine, they become very unpredictable. They're not used to this. They react by violently lashing out. They become very unpredictable. They become something like a wounded animal that's been backed into a corner. That's what's happening in Romania today. Number eight, because of all of this you know, bad faith. They project their own criminality onto everyone else. Entities, again, they themselves construct. They have a whole host of fantasy enemies. You know, Russia, what they think Russia is, white racists, whites in general, nationalists, Christians, whatever is Donald Trump, whatever it happens to be. Number nine, they're isolated. They don't have contact with ordinary citizens. They don't like them. They don't do well with them. And of course, they see themselves as above them. 10, oligarchies, which of course these people are, they're oligarchs, they don't obey laws. This is not a rule of law at all. Laws like American foreign policy is what serves their interests at the moment. Of course, it's not a coincidence. And finally, to be in this club, you have to have fabulous unearned wealth. In and of itself, that distorts their view of the world. It's already distorted by all of these other things. They don't really work. They're not productive. They're parasitic. So the world that they live in, it's very difficult for normal people to conceive of. So I want you to keep those things in mind when you consider not just this issue, but so many issues like this. When we have to deal and figure out the most illogical, absurd, almost comical, this criminality, this thought process that the regime uses to justify itself. Some of you may have heard that the winner and the what they call a nationalist victor in the Romanian presidential elections of last year, Calin Dragescu, they've arrested him. Not that's a huge surprise. They arrested him. They actually had a whole roundup of right-wing politicians and those supporting them. But how they justify it? The lies are so bad, and they're so unoriginal, and they're stupid. You would think that they're designed to not be believed. And they're not. But I just listed those 11 things I just listed. Those are the reasons why they actually think this stuff is true. And if one says otherwise over there, the present prison term in Romania for this kind of thing is between 10 and 30 years. And of course, it comes down to this. I mean, you need to go through this psychological profile to understand how a group of people can nullify an election, foreigners, of course, that didn't go their way, and then seriously talk to people about electoral transparency. And it's not even good rhetoric. You'll know Romania, the constitutional. Romania is an EU member. They had no right to be in the EU. They passed none of the standards of the EU, but they had to do it to keep it away from Russia. So that, even though standards are a joke, they annulled the results of the presidential elections. And the only reason they did it was to prevent him from taking over. So the regime, and this is no surprise to my listeners, but it is surprising to a lot of people who should know better, including Georgescu himself. They will do, if they're willing to kill 1 million Ukrainians for very little, what they're doing in Romania is no big deal. But that's the world of oligarchy. That fits the psychological profile. As an EU member, as a weaker EU member, Romania doesn't have independent political institutions. Everything's vetted by the system. The Constitutional Court in Romania is dependent on and created by, staffed by the EU, annul the results of the first round last year. I talked about that way too briefly. It was done under EU orders. Georgescu is independent. He doesn't belong to a party. He won the race against his totally EU-backed opponents by a substantial margin. And he was completely removed from politics in general. The only way that that could happen is through panic and anger. He was accused of receiving Russian support in the electoral campaign. His campaign, by the way, was run entirely on TikTok. I have contacts there. People that were involved in the overthrow of Ceausescu, some of whom are personal friends of mine, one in particular, told me that the censorship there is worse than under Ceausescu, which is no surprise. It's certainly more thoroughgoing. The censorship is so bad that any independent candidate has to go to social media. Now, he was removed from candidacy, barred from running for office, and now arrested. And these charges aren't crimes. They don't make a whole lot of sense, and they change from day to day. His point of view was certainly, you know, common sense. He's against Romania's involvement in NATO in the future, in the European Union, and certainly against Romania's involvement in the lost war with Russia. It's not really a difficult choice. You have a million dead Ukrainian boys. Because he didn't want to continue with Romanian boys, he needed to be destroyed. Romania is not in great economic shape, but to have huge amounts of money going to the third world corrupt rat hole of Ukraine. And of course, he's an Orthodox man. He's against the EU-mandated leftist cultural agenda. And he likes to see ties with Orthodox countries. Clearly, you know, he sent the regime, these Jews, through the roof. That all amounts to them to be pro-Russian, as if this is a problem. And then they started inventing, and they invent stories about him, and it's the same thing over and over again. Moscow finances his political projects. There's no evidence for that. And they say that at the exact same time that the Americans in the EU directly controls his opposition's campaign. USAID controls this entire thing. There is no left. There is no liberalism in Eastern Europe without USAID, which is why if that's the only thing that Donald Trump does, it'll be worth it. Because once that's gone, all those newspapers and fake media are gone. They have no support locally. But that the accusations are identical for all non-system candidates, from Donald Trump to this guy to anybody else. They just fill in the blanks. The same thing for the color revolution. That's why I had to start off with those 11 traits that have to be true. This is also solid ground for calling this neurotic projection. It's a rock-solid case. Now remember, the Romanian political system is tightly controlled. It's a leftist press, total censorship. He still won 23% of the vote in the first round against like 13 candidates, which is a big deal. Of course, the number is far higher. He wasn't even allowed to campaign. His main opponent was Alina Lesconi, who won less than 19% of the vote, who was completely sponsored and controlled by the regime. A lot of this comes down to the war. They fear that their war plans will be upset if this guy is elected. They see just another Trump phenomenon. So then they nullify the elections and they set a new election day for May and then banned all non-regime supporting candidates. Georgescu was arrested a short time later. Georgescu is very naive. A lot of these guys are, and it's not entirely their fault, but they act like this is something new. He goes on and on about democracy and the rule of law suspended in Romania. And no kidding. Someone needs to tell him that this is the legal order for the EU state, for how the regime and how oligarchies work. This is normal in liberal democracies. It should be expected. He says the Romanian judicial system is corrupt. Well, no kidding. Condemns the accusations made against him, which are, it's hard to refute them because there's no substance to them in the first place. Of course, it's a coup of a sort. Certainly it is. He says justice subordinated to political orders has practically lost its essence. It's no longer justice. It obeys the orders. The corrupt system in Romania showed its true face by making a pact with the devil. Well, there he's literally correct. But it's the nature of the European Union to function this way. Of course, all of this has zero evidence behind it. We'll get into his criminal charges later, and they're just, you have to laugh or else you're going to be very upset. It's very depressing. Russian support, it wouldn't be a problem even if it's true. I'm not sure how they think this is a problem, but it's just a pretext. And they have no evidence for that. I don't see anything wrong with Russian support, even if it did exist, where the U.S. directly controls the entire political process of most Eastern European countries, Romania included. Georgescu's opponents were entirely financed by groups like USAID, but it doesn't make any difference. These are just pretexts. Anyway, a pretext doesn't have to be true. Of course, you should point out that Romania is a very important logistical hub for supporting the lost war in Ukraine. Of course, influence over Moldova, the NATO proxy country. It has oil, owned by others now, but it has oil. and has a large and educated population, although a shrinking one, thanks to the EU. It has been completely deindustrialized since it became a part of the European Union. It has a tightly controlled press, uniformly backs liberal positions. But this guy won anyway, and losing a presence in Romania would be a disaster, which is why they're willing to do anything. I'm not predicting this, but he may, quote, commit suicide later. But back in December, a very good article came out talking about the second round was supposed to be held in December 2024. The claim was that no candidate achieved an absolute majority. Well, there were many candidates. I don't think that's true at all. I think Georgescu was about 60%, given his very common sense point of view. But given censorship, given ridiculous poll numbers, manipulated poll numbers, it was probably much higher. But the runoff, they couldn't allow the runoff. He would have won it. And so they canceled the original elections of November. At the time, no reason was given. They said something about suspected Russian interference, and that was it. The election was banned. Georgescu, personally, has no party backing. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's actually quite impressive. An entire campaign on TikTok because the censorship is so bad everywhere else. Now, almost all Romanians accept his basic points of view. He's against sanctions because sanctions have destroyed what's left of the EU's economy. That fact, the fact that it's true, is what the problem is. Von der Leyen, of course, is pure WEF. The European Commission ordered the Romanian Constitutional Court to annul the election. Georgescu, on December 7th, said that this whole thing, of course, you know, what is he going to say? The regime's media made this comment. Declassified information from Romania's intelligence agencies had alleged that the sudden rise of Georgescu in the first round of the election was not a natural outcome. In other words, he was too popular. That can't be, because they live in their own world. They can't conceive of it, therefore it can't be true. I don't think that they know that it's a lie. Maybe some of them do, but they didn't put any evidence anyway, and it's the same rhetoric no matter where you go. EU liberals had no conception of what he was even talking about. The left oligarchy, it lives by deception. Russia now is the fourth largest economy in the world. They can't be dominated. They can't be defeated. So they have to pick their battles where they can. Now coming to this year, early 2025, EU is in serious trouble. When I was in grad school, I took a class from a very famous EU scholar named Rafael Zariski. He laid out, he was quite the skeptic about it, he laid out how the deceptive practices, how this gradually, from World War II on, was accepted. Bits and pieces. You know, the coal and steel community, the very first version of this, it was meant to be a scam. Because coal and steel dominates every other aspect of the economy. If you have a coal and steel community, then everything else is going to eventually have to be a part of it. It was deliberately put that way. It was meant to be deceptive. It was a gradual adoption of these deceptive methods. But the masks of the EU, claiming that they're different from NATO, which they are not, whatever masks they had in the last 25 years have fallen. Anyone who believed any of their claims anyway needs to find another job. But the EU and NATO are far more similar than they would like you to believe. As I've said from the beginning, democracy is defined in their world as oligarchic liberalism and internationalism. Capitalism, the control of banks and elites. Things solely in the interests of banks, Jews, multinational corporations. That's what democracy is. This is another version of the Soviet invasion of Hungary. They're terrified that a country is going to leave their orbit, and they have to intervene in one way or another to keep it there. And don't think that tanks are out of the question, depending on what may happen in the future. Georgescu was aware that NATO had plans for Romania. They were going to be, along with Georgia, another source of infantry to be ground up in the war. The Constitutional Court had no reason to do what it did. It had no proof of anything. It kind of said whatever came to mind. But the former French EU commissioner, Thierry Breton, went on live TV back in January, and this is what he said. It was actually in talking about the German case, but he mentioned Romania too. Here's what he said. Freedom of expression is a fundamental element in Europe. Now, if they don't change their ways in Germany, they're fined and a possibility of a ban. Now we're equipped, and we have to enforce this law to protect our democracies in Europe. For now, let's keep calm and enforce our laws. When there is risk that it will be bypassed, and if they're not enforced, they can lead to interference. We did it in Romania, and if necessary, we'll do it in Germany as well. Now, that's very convoluted. It doesn't make sense. But what he's talking about, laws, meaning laws against election interference, extremism, while also saying freedom of expression is a fundamental element in Europe. This is why I had to start off saying what I say. You have to understand how these people are and the world they live in before you can make sense out of this nonsense. Do you remember Biden's speech? Not too long, I can't remember the year, with the ominous glowing red background, flanked by soldiers on either side. It's on the White House lawn. He was threatening the right wing with dissolution. This may have been after Charlottesville. Right after he was installed, he mentioned Charlottesville. Still terrified about all of that. Of course, Charlottesville was under Trump, but not too long afterwards. It was early in that process. It's very similar here. A desperate intervention to keep a nation within the regime's orbit. Germany is even more terrifying. But again, nothing here is strange to anyone who's remotely aware of how liberalism functions. This is common. They do this everywhere. It's a shock to me that even those in the alternative media are surprised by any of this. This is some anomaly. It's not. And it's all the same, the exact same rhetoric, just in a different language. The same as the Russiagate hoax promoted by the DNC, the FBI, all media. People like Breton are talking about the exact same thing. Laws against this enforced in Germany if the AfD wins. The AfD is a problem because what they're saying is true. They're terrified of social media. The fact that this man who started, this Georgescu, who started from nothing, built up a persona on TikTok and won the election for president. These people are terrified of that. And yet you have these official candidates with money thrown at them who can't get any more than a few percent. Facts and ideology are the same in their mind, as I said before. Remember in 2016, the regime created fact-checking. It's really a universally hated idea. It's just a universal propaganda machine. It's done by kids on their phones. They have no knowledge of what they're doing. That's why it's anonymous. But any attempt to criticize that is met with censorship, and all attempt to create the impression that neoliberalism is somehow popular. The entire system rests on deceit. You debate a liberal or a leftist of any kind, their entire argument rests on what the media is saying is true. They have to constantly refer to it. The regime is aware that if, it's bad enough having hunger, but if Romania goes, and possibly Germany, and even France to some extent, they're already looking at dissolution. It made me smile when the AfD's Alice Weidel floated the idea of relaunching the Nord Stream pipelines. Can you imagine the heads exploding? But of course it makes sense. It would help Germany recover economically, if that's even possible. AfD, they want to eliminate them because they're right. They've uncovered the nature of the regime. We're not talking about abstract free speech here. I don't care about that. It's true. And that's why it should be in power. The EU is terrified. Academics are terrified. The prospect of having to contend with nationalist governments, they really don't understand what they're saying. They don't really hear a competent rendition of the nationalist point of view, the Christian point of view. You have Slovakia, Hungary. We haven't bought the lie, and therefore, we're a problem. Worse, nationalism is extremely popular. Brussels is losing momentum. These revolutionary projects, now with the wonderful thing that's going on with USAID, remember, the EU hasn't benefited, especially smaller countries. It hasn't benefited anybody. These color revolutions lead to EU or NATO enlargement, but also the destruction of the local economy. The EU can't control its own members. But this is what the regime is willing to do. Ever since Romania became part of both alliances, it's been stripped of its industry and, of course, its sovereignty. But that's what the EU is. As I said, the country was not ready for essentially the EU, but they had to fast track it. It is also very strategic. So the standards of membership don't mean anything. Also, the U.S. wanted to establish its missile shield, which is a lie. No ABM system can reach Russian ICBMs from Romania anyway. However, what the point is, these defense, so-called defenses, are housed in a universal MK-41 VLS, the vertical launching system. It's universal because you could put anything in there. They could be replaced by offensive missiles, and no one except those on the ground would know that it happened, which means the Pentagon can have unprecedented options against Russia while keeping them concealed under the guise of missile defense. Remember the big anti-nuke demonstrations of the 80s in Germany? Yeah, all of a sudden, they don't exist anymore. Of course, the regime is not interested in defense whatsoever. Decades, Russia naively tried to establish normal relations. But Romania became more and more important as NATO's Russian obsession grew. To this day, I can't figure out why they hate. I mean, I know why they hate it, but in terms of their public pronouncement, in their own minds, why they hate it, they haven't ever really laid it out. But to have Romanians now used as cannon fodder, Georgians used as cannon fodder. They've already been destroyed in 2008. But despite decades of propaganda and censorship, worse than Ceausescu, his positions are what any sane man would think. But the regime, again, not really knowing what to do with opposition, you have a million Ukrainian men laying dead because they don't know what to do with opposition. Russian meddling. The phrase is irritating. It's so stupid. And the whole point of it is that that meddling, alleged meddling, interferes with their control over the whole system. But even before all this happened, Georgescu was subjected to a smear campaign in a Soviet-style way. Mainstream propaganda, with no real ability to defend himself, claimed that he was an extremist, which I don't think is a problem, or a pro-Russian populist, which I would initially think is a compliment. But the whole thing is make-believe one way or the other. Romania has been through enough in its history, the arrogance of its rulers in the past, but I will say that no one is more arrogant and obnoxious than the EU and the US. And of course, you know you have roughly 200,000 people in the streets there of several political backgrounds protesting their country's occupation by the EU. In the controlled media, the number, God knows what they're saying over there. It's low, I know that. But you have other parties over there opposed to this nonsense. George Simeon, the more or less conservative Alliance for the Union of Romanians, AUR, who I think was part of the protest, came out against it. He calls it a coup. He says, "We're sorry to discover so late that we were living a lie and that we were led by people who claimed to be democratic, but no, not at all. We demand a return to democracy through the resumption of elections, starting with the second round." Has this guy just discovered this? The AUR itself went from nothing to be itself, just like the presidential candidate. It went from a nothing party to be the second largest party in the legislature, despite the ridiculous polls claiming no one backed them. Now, the media doesn't mention them except for the occasional smear. What's been happening recently is that, unable to counter any of this, this very Soviet-style political elite resorted to keeping Klaus Iohannis, who, by the way, is not Romanian, whose term ended on December 21st, like Zelensky, whose term ended in May of last year, Of course, he's a usurper, another obvious truth. But the EU openly admitted that they annulled the election out of fear. Georgescu was heading towards the election with 23% lead ahead of 13 other candidates. See, they live in a censored world. It didn't allow them to see how popular he had become. Elena Lasconi of the Save Romania Union, totally controlled by the regime. She was a journalist, if that tells you anything. She was sent to lie about the wars in Afghanistan and Kosovo. She doesn't really know anything. She doesn't seem to have any in-depth understanding. But you notice the other thing that they all have in common is this nonsense intelligence. Actually, it came from the former president, Iohannis himself, who went to the Constitutional Court to manipulate it. And the claim was that Moscow organized thousands of social media accounts to boost Georgescu's campaign. No, these were supporters whose accounts were then removed from the air, and later on they called them Russian. I was probably one of them. Again, they have no access to information except through caricature. They don't know what the opposition is even talking about. In other words, the claims are identical no matter what country you're in. So that means they have to be organized by the same very uninspired source. Unlike everyone else, Georgescu was the only one who was actually engaging with the common people through social media. In and of itself, that terrified the system. He's articulated things that the regime has never heard before, and in a very common sense kind of a way. So initially, Brussels, who, you know, somehow has the right to do this, wanted to hold the next election, May 4th to May 18th, but that just gives them enough time, of this year, I'll just give them enough time to steal the election. Georgescu went on to promise to restore Romania's sovereignty, which is another way of saying get the hell out of the EU, and put an end to the economically suicidal subservience to the regime. So they arrested him. He also rejected the missile defense shield, which is based in southern Romania, by the way. But the shield, as we all know, is useless against Russian hypersonics anyway, but it's not a shield. The shields don't work very well. But what's even worse for the criminals in Washington and Brussels, Georgescu came out against NATO entirely, brings out the number of casualties in Ukraine, even the American military-industrial complex, the artificially prolonging of the war, which is something that Romanian media hadn't mentioned before. Economic sovereignty is also very important. The EU has never benefited anybody. It has destroyed every economy it's touched for the result of a handful of wealthy oligarchs. Now, I got to give the vice president some credit. He came out and said, many of you have heard, this is actually February, that these regime leaders are terrified of their own people. That's true. The Munich Security Conference, early February, the threat to Europe is within. He knows they're scared. He knows what it's like. The Romanian presidential elections were nullified on no information whatsoever. And even when the regime was pressed to give some evidence, they said, well, his people supportive of him, probably all over the world, took out digital ads. That's the big problem here. Anything like that is considered interference. Solid grounds, again, for believing that this is pure neurotic projection. He said, and many of you know what I'm talking about here, he said, embrace what your people tell you, even when it's surprising or you don't agree. You know, they don't need to be told that. The regime knows exactly what it's doing. He said, if you're running in fear of your own voters, there's nothing the Americans can do for you. Nor, for that matter, is there anything that you can do for the American people who elected me and Donald Trump. And the stony silence. Again, this was a shock to them. They're not used to this. But, of course, they're aware of it. They know what they're doing in that sense. Brussels was delighted over the cancellation of the elections. censorship in Germany and Sweden. And then you went so far as to say, with Schultz, I think, that Elon Musk's words, just his words over there, was election interference. Again, this is why I had to start with those 11 things. You have to know that before some ridiculous thing like this. It's not even pot calling the kettle black. It's way beyond that. I'm not a big Musk fan, but endorsing the AFD, that's a wonderful thing. That's where the election interference came from. Then he said there is no freedom of speech for extreme right organizations. He never elaborated on what that is, what might be included in that category, or why it's a problem. Sven Longshanks is in jail, was in prison. To this day, they never really gave an explanation. This is what they say while the EU dominates elections all over Eastern Europe. It is all deception. Georgescu is an interesting man. Because of censorship, as I said, he's 62 years old. I think he uses crutches. He was forced to campaign through TikTok. But it's an interesting story exactly as to what happened. The original investigation said these weird irregularities had nothing to do with him. He doesn't have a party. But there was a consulting firm hired by USAID associated with the pro-Western National Liberal Party. In derailing another candidate, another opponent of theirs, they ended up boosting Georgescu. They even made up a story. They said that Georgescu was in trouble because he broke campaign finance laws by not disclosing donations from wealthy businessmen. Well, it isn't true. Wealthy businessmen did not support his campaign. His campaign was online. And all these groups were financed by the EU and tasked with destroying the campaign. His social media campaign was actually used as evidence against him. It was financed indirectly by his political opponents. So let me put it this way. Their plan was to promote him into the second round, where they figured, oh, he's a nut. We can beat him easily. When he proved far more popular, that upset the whole scheme. That's when they canceled the election. This is proof of what I said at the beginning. Liberals live in a bubble of censored information. The polls are rigged. Opinions are standardized. The media is entirely controlled. They don't know that. They think, as I said before, that their ideology is reality. So they assumed that Georgescu's extremism and poor polling numbers would lead to his defeat. They actually started to believe this nonsense in their censored world. Having no access to reality, they really believed that, oh, no one's going to vote for him. See, look at what the polls say. The polls had no relation to reality, proving that they're frauds. They're meant to create opinion, not reflect it. The left's entire ideology now is based on accepting the regime's media as true and real. They couldn't exist without it, just like the left overseas couldn't exist without USAID. The EU now has taken over Romania to make sure that Bucharest remains in the EU orbit, especially now that the war is humiliating for the regime now in Ukraine. It was February 26th, Georgescu was arrested. Charges, again, they're always changing. They get dumber as they change. They're not really crimes, kind of. A Kremlin puppet, which I don't think is in the law books. So the redo election is supposed to be in May. He keeps getting more and more popular. Then on March 6th, there was a roundup. A whole bunch of others were arrested, friends of his. Treason for colluding with Russia to undermine the country. They invented a group. I think I've mentioned this before. They invented a group called, remember how ISIS was created in Hollywood? Typical bad guy name like a James Bond group. The evil pro-Russian group. They invented it entirely. Vlad the Impaler Command. That's the name of it. It doesn't exist. Of course, they created it. One of the main members is that 101-year-old retired general, Rado Theodoru. It was invented. It was invented by a PR firm to sound scary. Vlad the Impaler Command. Can you imagine? They invented it out of whole cloth. This is a terrifying James Bond villain like ISIS is going to take over. The evil Vlad. You know, pictures of these guys next to Bela Lugosi. That's how the regime operates. Now, as I've said a million times in the past, given the endless money, all the academics, all the think tanks, wouldn't you think they'd come up with something better? And it gets even worse. The SRI is their FBI. It's controlled entirely by NATO and the European Union. It's about as Romanian as my cat is. They invented a story where pro-Putin conspirators seeking Russian help for a plot to overthrow the government in Bucharest, and then they repeatedly contacted agents of a foreign power located on both the territory of Romania and the Russian Federation. In fact, this fantasy allowed them to kick out a whole bunch of diplomats from the embassy in Bucharest. The entire thing is made up. There is no evidence for it. There is nothing. The SRI said, quote, the two Russian diplomats carried out intelligence gathering actions in areas of strategic interest and took actions to support the group's anti-constitutional action. The Financial Times breathlessly repeats this like it's a real thing. No evidence has been put forth. No evidence will be put forth. They don't have to put evidence in front of us. The Kremlin, you know, the reactions to this from people are just obvious statements. It's a way to distract from not just the meddling, but the domination of the West, the EU, in Romanian politics. Well, of course. Again, collective neurotic projection. Then they came up with something else. Links to fascist groups and attempting to subvert the constitutional order. No groups were ever mentioned. The term link was never defined. Yet he's looking at 10 to 20 years in prison. And if you go through it all, there's a gaggle of nationalist leaders who are in EU prisons right now, or at least have been arrested at one time or another. Georgescu really hasn't been linked to this group whatsoever, the Vlad the Impaler Command. But it's going to be the next step, of course. The press created this. Intelligence does this. It's all essentially one regime body. The Romanian press said that this Vlad the Impaler group was discussing Romania's withdrawal from NATO with Russian spies, the removal of the current constitution and constitutional order, the dissolution of political parties, as well as the removal of all employees from state institutions, the change of the country's name, the flag, and the anthem. This wasn't done under Ceausescu. This wasn't done even apart under the Soviets, at least the second half of the Soviet Union. That's all tame compared with the liberal regime today. Rather than deal with evidence, which they have none, they simply banned him and then arrested him. Everyone else, then, will self-censor. This is another form of projection, because they're saying that he wants to curtail political parties, but now, with his arrest on charges of rejecting the EU, no one who rejects the EU, no nationalist group, could ever now run a candidate. Again, this is pure projection. They're doing what they're accusing everyone else of doing. The demonstrations, however, have increased in size. Because they have regime backing, the police, they could do whatever they want. They can mow these people down, and no one will say anything in the West. That's how tight the censorship is. There's been many mass, very large protests held in Bucharest and elsewhere in Romania. So these six people, now the charge is that they were plotting to overthrow the government with the help of Russia. The exact same phrase is used around Europe and the U.S. The organized criminal group recruited followers online and published video materials. So, Georgescu, I'm not 100% sure where he is right at this moment. But he made the very obvious claim that the EU is a dictatorship and the country is under tyranny. No kidding. You know all this. Being anti-democratic and extremist is cause to be arrested, apparently. I mean, it isn't, but they say it is. No non-liberal party now is allowed or candidate to run for office because, according to them, according to the court, it violates the very obligation to defend democracy. Now, prior to his arrest, he was polling around 45%. The polls there are completely fraudulent, so it's about 60%, maybe even 70%. Not to mention his supporters, terrified of being arrested, aren't going to admit it. So polls mean absolutely nothing. But Georgescu doesn't seem to grasp what's going on. He said, "This is a blow to the heart of democracy worldwide. I have just one message. If democracy in Romania falls, the entire democratic world will fall. This is just the beginning. It's that simple. Europe is now a dictatorship." Does he really think that this is the first time this happened? Well, I think, again, I don't want to believe this. We may never hear from him again. He may, quote unquote, commit suicide. This is a complete and utter disaster. But if the rigged polls say that he's, you know, in a huge field of candidates before he was banned from running, was at 40%, that's extraordinary. His closest opponent was at 19%. This is why they had to arrest him. He was characterized in every, the word far right is used in every description in English. The regime is leftist. It's by its very structure, by capitalism's very structure, it's anti-nationalist. But too many of these guys are too naive to realize the left is the official ideology of the regime. Guys like, writers like Trixamil Amar, who writes for RT, the poor soul, you know, he says, "Well, I'm a leftist. I'm totally against this guy, but that's irrelevant. He has every right to run." Well, he doesn't give a replacement for what's supposed to break globalism. What else other than the nation is going to do this? He doesn't seem to understand that the left is the war party. This is a leftist movement doing what it does. It's just taken over. But even if every single accusation that the regime has given him turns out to be true, these aren't crimes. He's a nationalist. That's the only reason he's under attack. Leftists aren't being arrested. But the nation, National Socialism, some variant of that, is the only alternative to oligarchy in the present system. The left doesn't, it's not that it offers nothing. It is the system. The regime is an oligarchy, hence it's dedicated to constant chaos and revolution. This is what this same guy writes, he said. Georgescu was right. This is not really merely a Romanian affair, but another trend-setting event for all of EU Europe. And for the massive manipulations used in France to build bizarre governments, to shut out both populist right and left, and not reflect the vote, the brazen firewalling against the AFD, and probably outright falsifications against the BSW of Sarah Wagenknecht in Germany, now we've reached the stage of direct, open election suppression. Where's this man been living? This has been the norm of the regime for decades. The left was not firewalled out, and he knows that. But this is how the left operates. Ukraine is a one-party Jewish-run state, more tightly controlled than Soviet Ukraine. Biden was installed. He was never elected. The European press is controlled by the left. All the press, simply one big prod. What they end up doing is that the election commission there in Romania, they claim to have received more than 1,000 complaints against Georgescu regarding his extremist views. In other words, the regime, you know, had a bunch of Jews or leftists to send things in. I don't know what complaints mean. We'll never see them. We'll never know. In and of itself, it's a meaningless claim. Georgescu is interesting. He has a doctorate in soil science. That is chemistry, maybe? He spent most of the 90s and 2000s in the environmental ministry. He even represented the country on the UN Environment Program right up until 2011. He was always a right-winger, and he has not had a party. But he built, after he left that party in 2022, he created it entirely by himself, a successful online persona on a whole bunch of platforms in recent years. And that was sufficient. Of course, he has plenty of supporters sending him money. But that's what terrified the regime. He defeated people who have everything paid for. Millionaires who the regime finances to run for election with pure censorship and fake polls and fake elections. I mean, that background might be why he's a little naive, even concerning his own persecution. He built his own movement from the ground up. with all the censorship. All the censorship to the point where he needed to campaign online, and he still won. That's why, at the time, the press was saying he surprisingly won in November. In other words, the polls were fake, and they were saying that he has like 5%. That was wishful thinking. They were manipulative. The polls were fake, and then they can't be believed. If the media is controlled, so is the polling. Polls exist to convince people what others are thinking. They're designed to create opinion. Certainly doesn't end with Romania. Same thing goes for Diana Șoșoacă, which is actually how you say her name, which I had no idea. She tried to do the same in the upcoming presidential election. Second time now, the Romanian's election, second time she's been barred, second candidate has been barred from the race. This is why I say the EU, Romanian government says, any nationalist, any right-winger may not run for office. Șoșoacă, again, big woman, and I mean it. If she goes to prison, she's going to dominate the place. She looks like a wrestler. She used to be a part of the SOS Romania party. Disqualified from last year's annulled election because based on her anti-Western rhetoric and support for closer ties with Russia. That's not a crime, but it doesn't matter. But Romania is a one-party state with a Soviet ideology that can't be questioned. It's the exact same thing. This is how you know that now it's systematic. It's not just him. Because the word nationalist is illegal, Șoșoacă has to call herself a sovereigntist, which is stupid, but that's all you can do. She's highly intelligent. I don't know her, but I know people who know her. She was in the U.S. not that long ago. What she says is true, talking about sanctions destroying the economy. Well, that's all true. You really can't debate her, so she has to be destroyed. Lastly, I want to mention USAID. Obviously, they are behind a lot of this, and they're being gutted, thank God. This is a wonderful thing. We're going to Moldova here. Because of the slashing of USAID, the left in Moldova now has essentially ceased to exist. 80% of USAID programs, including those in Moldova, have been at least frozen for now. The group really dominated the political landscape, prevented any non-liberal ideas from ever being put in the public square. All these NGOs exist because of your taxpayer dollars. The minute it goes away, there's nothing left. That's all they have. I wrote last year, November, here's what I said. Moldova also had a presidential election, 2024. But given the fraud that accompanied it, no color revolution was in progress there. The blatantly unfair electoral process, which resulted in Maia Sandu's electoral alleged victory, critical to the regime as its adventure in Ukraine turns into a debacle, meets all the criteria that trigger a spontaneous, quote-unquote, color revolution of the sort to which we've grown accustomed. But instead of facing civil turbulence for the dishonestly conducted November 3rd election, on the contrary, fervent NATO and EU advocate, World Economic Forum young leader Sandu has been praised beyond belief. Of course, like all color revolution actors, Sandu was educated at Harvard, worked for the World Bank. She doesn't have any real roots in her own country. And as of 2019, the percentage of people who trust her as a leader is about 20%. The Nationalist was at 25%, which again, I think these are rigged polls. But another poll elsewhere, that same year, had her far lower than 24%. She's hardly Moldovan. She won a fraction of the vote that they claim for her. But groups like Promolex, all of these leftist NGOs, 80% of their budget is based on USAID. All their leftist projects had to grind to a halt. The regime needs that kind of money to function, since none is available locally. They're unpopular. Salaries were slashed, staff laid off, etc. They may even have a real election there. So once they lost those funds, they tried to find EU funds. But that was hard to do. Wonderful news. What is USAID? It was to build a cadre of regime loyalists who served as a mouthpiece for Maia Sandu while sidelining dissenting voices. $110 million went to court journalists. The whole point of their existence was to smear Sandu's political rivals. They create a tightly controlled media. Now, Trump's freezing of this money has caused chaos in the media ecosystem, as they call it, in over 30 countries. Last year, $135 million was used for energy, security, whatever that means, and to counter Russian disinformation. USAID controlled the dominant media in Moldova. That means, now that it's gone, there's nothing there. Without Western money, there is no left in Moldova. The Jews don't seem to be willing to pay for this. I talked about the fraudulent referendum that barely had a majority wanting to be in the EU. I think it was 50.5% for yes and 50% for no. Utter nonsense. And there was only, you know, one media there. They had no dissenting voices were allowed. Totally fraudulent. But that's how close all of these operations are to USAID. The minute that money goes away, they have nothing. These newspapers close down. The political groups close down. The NGOs close down. They have nothing. Without Western money, none of this would be going on. Can you imagine? You may actually have an election there. You may actually have a debate there. Now, I didn't want to bring Moldova in too much. But the USAID angle, it shows you the entire system is American-dominated. And now that's going away. So if people were allowed to read whatever they wanted, etc., they would be, you know, Orthodox, they would be pro-Russian, they would despise the EU, who has done nothing for them. Hey, the regime is dying. What is happening to Romania was foreign, even in Marxist Romania. The Russian meddling trope, really? I could count 7 countries, including Central Asia, that was used. Over and over and over again, it's the same nonsense. It can't be believed by any rational person. But without foreign money, none of this nonsense could happen. All of these liberal candidates, all these fake polls, all these fake newspapers, they're financed by the West. If that goes away, liberalism dies. And that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I know this went too long. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.